Today's reading comes from Matthew 14, 13 through 20, and that can be found in page 1520 in your pew Bibles. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up the 12 baskets of broken pieces that were left over.
All right, as we get to, before we go into the word, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your gracious provision in our lives. We thank you for all the seasons. We thank you for the situations you've put us in, whether they be good or bad. And would you teach us, Lord, to have a new heart of thanksgiving and of worship. Help us to realize the power of the truth revealed in James, that every good and perfect gift comes from you, the Father of lights. We worship you, Lord. We pray today that the Holy Spirit, you would just soften our hearts and make us open to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, as we are in November, it's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is right around the corner. I can't imagine where the time goes. But as Thanksgiving's approaching, I thought it would be nice to give some reflections on what it means to give thanks and the importance of Thanksgiving in this month. And I'd like to start just as a pastor. I feel like a lot of my job is to kind of observe culture, observe people, and to see how the word relates to them. And one thing I noticed, I remember especially moving to the States, was that we are in a culture that loves extra sizes, extra large sizes, in fact. We love bonus packages. We love buffet dinners. You know, I don't know if you've had this experience, but I know in my family, when Koreans go out to eat, we love going to buffet dinners because we're thinking, the more we eat, the more we save. So, okay, so we're all alike here. Good. I'm in good company. You know, so we're thinking, okay, it's $10 worth. So if I eat $10 worth of food, I almost feel like I got gypped off because I only ate what I paid for. The real value comes when you have that second, third, yea, verily, the fourth plate. Right? Because now you're thinking, with each bite, even though I'm not enjoying the food anymore because I'm ridiculously full, I'm eating more because I'm thinking I'm saving more. I was reminded of, just the craziness of the North American sentiment when I moved to Japan. I've told some of my friends about this. At some of the vending machines, they'll have 2 sizes of soda cans right next to each other. One is larger, one is smaller, but the price is the same. And I remember looking at this and thinking, this is so bizarre. And I remember talking to my Japanese friend about this, and I'm saying, why would you ever choose the smaller one? And she goes, well, I choose the smaller one. I was like, why? Well, I can't finish the bigger one. And I was thinking, you're crazy. You know, obviously, in North America, we're thinking, look, we're going to have the bigger one because we can, and we will. You know, I will have it, even though I don't want that much to drink, I will now drink that much because the size is that big. You know, we love to get as much as we can. We love overflow. We love excess. We love to hear that we have more than enough. But it makes us wonder, when we run on empty in this culture, how do we react? When we're running empty on energy, finances, patience, strength, on generosity, when we're running dry spiritually, emotionally, mentally, what is the spirit that kind of comes out of us? Is it a spirit of conservation? Is it that kind of sentiment that says, you know what, we don't have much. Let's save the little that we have. We don't want to spend it all in one place. Let's kind of bring it all together. Let's ration. Let's be very careful. Or do we have kind of a spirit of excuses? You know, God understands I don't have much to give. You know, He knows where I'm at. This is what I have. You know, He'd understand if I'm going to be just not giving as much right now. I'm running on empty. Or do we have a spirit of bitterness? You know, why am I so empty right now? Why do I have to be dealing with this? You know, other people are not dealing with the situation that I'm with. Why do I have to suffer with this season of emptiness? Or maybe it's a spirit of resignation. You know, I give up. It's always going to be dry and empty. No matter what I do, it just seems like the emptiness, the empty season, this time of poverty is just going to continue forever. Or perhaps in that season of emptiness, we face burnout. I'm done. All I can do is collapse. There's nothing I can do. My resources are gone. It's just time to lie down and give up. And you know, I'm not just talking about finances, of course, as I mentioned earlier. You know, there are times when our energy is completely gone. Maybe there's things in our job that has just completely taxed us of our strength. We come home defeated, we feel empty, and we have nothing left. And then we get home and we realize there's so much to do at home. Or maybe you have just enough to take care of your family, and then you come to church, and it feels like church is constantly pressing on your needs. And like, how can I possibly give to the church when I don't even have enough to give to my own family? Maybe it's patience. You feel like, okay, you know, I don't know if you've met who I'm married to, but that takes a lot of patience right there. And then, you know, just to go out, and don't look at each other at this time, okay? Don't point fingers to each other. I have a wonderful wife, by the way. Anyways, moving on. But, you know, you wasted all your patience at home, and then you go out, and you're at the restaurant, and then the service is terrible, and you're thinking, you know what, I have no patience for you. I'm not going to give you any patience because all my patience is wasted. I'm depleted. Maybe emotionally, you have some people right now who are in some very difficult times, and you've been there counseling them and encouraging them. And, you know, it's taken a lot out of you. And then you just come home, and you're thinking, like, you know what, I've been just taking care of my friends who've been going through all of this stuff. I just don't have anything left to take care of you. I'm sorry. And have you been in this place? Are you in this place right now? And this is the real challenge. How can you give thanks in empty times when you feel like your resources are depleted? And this is where we enter into Matthew chapter 14. Consider these disciples as we read here. They were working all day long. They started the day with excitement. Maybe some of them were even thinking, I can't wait to see what Jesus is going to do today. Seems like Jesus always has a miracle to pull out. You know, He's always giving these great messages. He brings thousands of people. How exciting. But we read in Matthew chapter 14 is that they had been working all day long. And at the end of the day, what did they see? Still many people left. You know, they probably wanted a break. Have you ever felt like that? You've been working all day long, and you just feel like you're right at your wit's end, and once you get to the end of the day, you realize you have a ton of work left to do. You know, these disciples probably wanted a break. They told Jesus, you know what, can you just send them home? You know, enough giving. We're done. I have nothing left. And consider Jesus. If you've read Matthew chapter 14, just a little before, we read that John the Baptist was brutally beheaded. One of the close friends of Jesus had died. And Jesus, probably in mourning and in shock and in grief, we read that in Matthew chapter 14, in verse 13, he went to a solitary place to pray. He probably needed to recover from his loss. And at such a weakened state, what happens? He goes to a solitary place, but the crowds find out where he is, and they all follow him. Have you ever felt like that, where you wanted kind of just to just some time to decompress, time to just heal and recuperate. And then sure enough, the crowds follow you. You've gone to a solitary place, but they found your solitary place. And what does Jesus say in the midst of this weakness, in the midst of tired disciples, of being tapped out, of being empty? Jesus says something very scandalous. He says this. He says, "You give them something to eat." Can you imagine what the disciples are thinking? Jesus, look, I don't know if you're listening to us, but we are very tired. We are very empty. Why are you asking us to feed them? There's not many of us, and there's thousands of them. Haven't we done enough? Haven't we been working all day? Why can't you ask somebody else? And it's at this point where we look at Jesus and we're tempted to look at him like he's a cruel taskmaster. We look at him and we maybe look at Jesus as his cruel boss, a burdensome parent, or maybe an authority who constantly demands more so that they can benefit and you can suffer. Maybe some of our young folks, you can feel like that. Do you feel like maybe some days your parents just keep asking you stuff and asking you stuff, and it's like, there's never enough. Like, when are you going to be happy enough? Maybe you've come to church and you've just been really tapped out and you want to come to a place where you can be filled and you can be restored. And you come and it seems like we're asking you for more of this, more of that. And then we begin to think that Jesus is very cruel. And the best way to deal with Jesus is to avoid him, perhaps. But I want to tell you, it is very important to read Matthew chapter 14 very carefully, because this is exactly what Jesus is not. He is not a cruel God who advocates reckless self-destruction. He is not this cruel parent who keeps asking and asking and is never satisfied. Jesus is different. Jesus may sound unreasonable, but what he's really doing is he's asking two things. He's asking these two things. He's asking, what do you have, and do you believe that I can do something with that? You see, Jesus is not requiring more of you, but he's actually asking you to consider, what do you have? And that is the real difference. You know, in ministry, as you know, ministry, there's a lot to do in ministry always. But one of the most difficult things, I think, in ministry is probably the emotional, mental, spiritual kind of drain on you. And there are many times where pastors struggle with burnout. There's been many times in the past where I have been very tempted to just really burn out completely. And a lot of it came because I felt this pressure to be so much more than who I was. I felt like I had to pull out resources beyond what I had. I constantly came before demands of 1,000 people and felt like I did not have enough to give. And there was so much more that I needed to give that was way beyond who I was. And I felt in everything I was insufficient to face the challenges of life and ministry. And the disciples were like this too. Jesus, you just asked us to feed the thousands. But let me tell you, Jesus, that we have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. In your lives, have you felt like, you know, Jesus, I only have a snack worth of food to give to people. How can I really feed thousands of people? In my ministry too, I felt that I had nothing left to give. I was so emotionally, mentally, spiritually spent. I didn't know enough of the Bible. I didn't have enough training. I didn't have enough of this or that. And I constantly told God, I don't have enough to give. And God, why do you keep sending people this way? And it's at this moment where we start to get bitter in the moments of emptiness. This is where we start to get resentful. Jesus, why do you keep drawing from me? Why do you keep asking things of me that I'm not capable of doing? Can't you see that I'm empty? You look at people who come to you for help and who look to you for the encouragement that you can bring, and you look at them as burdens, not as opportunities of ministry. And at this point, there might be this temptation to run away from the present demands around us and shut down. Rather than finding a solution to the problem, you think it's a lot easier to avoid. You know, at this point, things look really glum. You know what? The demands upon us, the inbox of demands and requests continues to pile up. What's the best thing to do? Maybe we should just throw that inbox out. And it's at this point which we call burnout, where we burn out mentally, physically, and spiritually, where we no longer deal with the problem, but we see that the only solution is avoidance and despair. And it's at that point where we enter a very dark place. And it's at this point I wanted to share something that was very powerful for me. When I was living in England, I remember for the Passion Week, I decided to fast. And I was going to break my fast on Good Friday, just to symbolize, and I was going to break my fast on the same hour that Jesus said, "It is finished." You know, and this is kind of a practice that we do in our family. And I have to admit, as I get older, it's more and more difficult for me to fast like this. And I remember I was going through the day, and we're just a couple of hours away from me breaking my fast. And so I wanted to break my fast in a church nearby where I was living. And it was this beautiful cathedral in Liverpool. And I guess the local bishop was there preaching. And right before the service, I was very hungry. And my body was aching. I just felt like I'm going to die. You know, obviously I wasn't, but I just felt very, very hungry. And I just felt very weak. My steps were slowing down. And sure enough, he shared this same passage that I'm sharing with you today. And this was a real powerful moment for me. I just felt so weak, literally, in my body, in my spirit. You know, I was alone. I was far from home. I felt that I didn't have, I just felt very isolated. I felt like I didn't have much at that time in my life. And what the bishop kind of challenged people to say, you know what, the amazing thing about this story is not so much that he fed thousands of people, but it is this, that when Jesus looked at the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked at it in front of these thousands of people, and he looked up to the heavens, and he gave thanks. And you know, for me, who was literally physically just feeling the pains of emptiness, to hear those words were so powerful for me. You see, Jesus was not rebuking the disciples. Why don't you have more? 5 loaves and 2 fish? Man, you guys, don't you realize we're doing ministry here? Why didn't you guys stockpile? I mean, think ahead. We're doing ministry here, guys. You guys should be more prepared. You should know better. And how often have we kind of come into church thinking like, you guys should just know better how to do church. You should know better how to do things. You come into your families, you should just know better. You should just know better. You should be a better parent. You should be a better employee. You should have more resources. But Jesus, at this point, right before I come before him and say like, Jesus, I don't have a lot as a pastor. I feel very weak. I feel like Jesus is going to rebuke me right there. You know, Sam, I'm very disappointed in you. You should have had another master's degree or something. You know, you should have studied the Bible more. Well, you know, obviously you need the Bible more. You should have been praying more. Jesus looks at me and he says, "What do you have?" And at that very moment where I think he's going to rebuke me, he lifts it up unto the Father and gives thanks. Rather than rebuking the disciples for having so little, he gave thanks for what they had. Rather than running away from the lack of resources, he gave thanks for what they had. And imagine the strange sight of a hungry 1,000 people and Jesus at the front with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he says, "Jesus, thank you for this feast that you have given to us that will feed us all." At that moment, I don't care how good a sermon giver this guy is. He's crazy. You know, I'm out of here. Maybe some people might have thought. You know, Jesus is not sarcastic. He's not bitterly joking. Jesus, you know, like, "Father, thanks for nothing." You know, he's not like that. Maybe some of us have done that. Someone comes and offers something, and you're like, "What, you're going to help me with that? You can't help us. You're deficit. You're the weakest link. Get out of here." Jesus doesn't do that. He knows that what we have and what he has given us is more than enough for what the Father needs to do. Jesus saw what they had offered up to the heaven. Jesus saw what they had, and he offered up to the heavens in thanksgiving. You see, to the others, maybe 5 loaves and 2 fish was somewhat embarrassing. And it was just embarrassingly little. But Jesus saw it as a worthy sacrifice. In lifting his eyes to the heavens, he said, God, this is not much, but I know you can make miracles out of this. And what we read here is that he provides us with more than we could ask, think, or imagine. And here's the really great thing that we read, is that 5,000 men were filled, but also the women and children that came along with them. And not only the women and children and the 5,000 men, but we read that 12 baskets were left over. You see, God is a God of generosity. God is a God who loves to bless abundantly. But when resources get small, we kind of start to think that God is cheap. We think that God is sort of stingy. We start to mistake God for us. But God is different. God is very generous. God is a God of abundance. You know, you might not have much, but have you ever thought that what little I have, if I offered it up to God in thanksgiving, that perhaps it could be more than enough? That it could be abundantly used by God. When our simple resources, when the little that we have, when the little we know, with the honest hearts that we have, when they are offered up in thanksgiving, when we begin to turn away from the temptation of bitterness, burnout, resentment, resignation, and excuses, when you offer up what we have, watch how God will overflow. Don't send people away from you. They need you right now. I know you don't think you have much, but they really need your 5 loaves and 2 fish. You think that no one could be fed from this, but I tell you that God is going to touch that and bless that, and he will feed the multitudes with that. Look at how God transforms and redeems what you already have. And he makes it great. Look at the Christian brothers and sisters around you. What do you see? Do you see people who are burnt out? Do you see people who are tired? Do you see people that are not willing to give anything? Do you see people who are struggling? Do you see people who are overwhelmed? And do you look at them and you just feel like, I don't have anything left to give to them? What do I have that could benefit them? And according to this scripture, when God looks at people who are so needy, who continue to press on us, who continue to challenge us, God looks at us and he looks at the crowd and he says, give thanks for the coming harvest. You see, God has done it before and he can do it again. What can CCC do in the great superpower that is Washington, D.C.? What can CCC really do for all of Virginia and Maryland? I mean, we're just a simple folk here. We just have a simple building. Some of us, you know, we're just trying to do what we can. And maybe some will have come into this building and been unimpressed and walked out. You know what? They only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here. Not much to eat, not much to give. See you later. But it is in these very places that God loves to bless. When the community starts to stop looking at what we have to give and start looking at what God can do. What can God multiply here? What can God do miraculously here? It is at that moment that we begin to see the excitement of the kingdom of God, where we no longer operate on what we can do, but we start operating on what God can do. You see, God is a God who specializes in new creation. There's this amazing teaching. It's called Ex Nihilo. And basically, it is the teaching that God created something out of nothing, we read in Genesis. God is a God who looked upon our nothingness and our emptiness, and he said, let there be light. And he said, let there spring forth creation. And at every turn, he says, it is good. This is our God. He says to us today that we have enough, that he can use what we have, and to give thanks and trust in him. For those of you who are weary, your bodies are shutting down. Your heart is shutting down. Your mind is shutting down. Rather than focusing on the emptiness that we have, let us give thanks for what we have and for what God can do. We're living in a time of limited resources. You hear in the news constantly, you know, we're in difficult times right now. We need to cut back. We need to cut back. We need to conserve. We need to pull back. And I can't help but feel, when we're talking about these economic uncertainties, many of us have imported that sort of same spirit into our spiritual walk as well. We need to cut back. Let's not overextend ourselves here, people. I mean, I only have so much love to give around. You know, I'll just do what I can. You know, I'll just attend when I can. I'll do it as long as it doesn't push me too much. But let us not be threatened by emptiness and burnout on every side. Let's not join with the spirit of the world around us, but let us give thanks unto God, who provides miraculously, who creates something out of nothing, who multiplies snacks to be great feasts. It's by his grace that the simple loaves and fish we give, they are the ingredients for the great feast of the kingdom of God. I really do believe that all of you gathered here today on this Sunday, God wants to bless you. I give thanks for you. And I pray, God, when you look at this church, would you just multiply them? Would you feed thousands of people, the women, the children, fill so many people, bless so many people, that we have more than 12 baskets left over? Because God is capable of doing the miraculous. Let us give thanks. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. So, Lord God, today we come before you boldly and we want to declare all that we have and say thank you. Lord God, forgive us for a spirit that complains and continues to ask for more and more. And how often, Lord, have we asked for more and received more, but we do so little with it? Today, Lord, let us change our hearts. We ask, Lord, for the little that we have. May you multiply it that it may feed many. Make us abundant and overflow unto others. Do wonderful things in our midst, God, for your glory. We give you thanks for all the work that you are doing in our lives. It is more than enough. We are excited to see how you can use us for your kingdom. Rescue us from burnout, from bitterness, from resignation. Restore us, revitalize us, revive us to do the work of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.